Yes, we just make it.
So, you know, what happens is these students, they have another course that goes up to four. So it depends how the other teacher's name is Roger keeps it.
Testing. Correct.
But what she's getting is not something that costs her anything. So when she redesigns how we do it, she doesn't, because those costs don't occur, she doesn't weight them in the way that she might have said those things that are like directly.
So the person behind designing this experience in the room and the people might have another idea of how it should be used.
Or no. There was no consequence or requirement for any cost for having put the post here. Right? And the thing is, the reason why this is a problem is this, right? This is a safety issue, right? And so what they say, well, no, safety reasons, it's better to put it here, right? And when the data is there and the screen's here, that's not the right screen, so it's fine. Right? If that person never had to sit in that room, and there was no comeback from the group being able to take action, you don't have to pay to fix that. Right? So,
not only that, it could be the opposite, the fact that we have change requests.
Yes, yeah.
They charge you for that.
Yeah, and if they charge you for change requests, depending on the company, they might make it a little check. So that you have to put in a change request to get them more money.
Anybody else?
Fail by design so that you can give them some more money to get it right.
Simon?
Instant code one.
DLC.
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 So, can you figure out why the VGA is not working?
Why it won't even turn on?
Somebody want to just touch the button, see if it helps? Can you put it on and see if it helps? Watch your step, man.
Hey, no, it's okay. He's a small step for the break, everything.
I love this thing. Yeah. God, I hate this. Is it on? Because what happens, to understand the problem here, is that good, the students are coming in. We seem to have difficulties. But no, it's working. It's my screen. Do you want to control F? So, hello. Can you hear me? Is it working here? Can you hear me now?
Now you're blowing.
Take a deep breath. The rain in Spain is mainly on the plain. Related. Well, hello. Okay, sounding better now. Just have to talk this way and not move. Yes. So, thank you very much. We have two students from the course. There's about five or six students online. Two students have indicated that they can't make it because of. One student just had a child 3 days ago. And very good. Gelter has a child. And he decided to stay. He's a doctoral student. This is a course in something called Information Technology Rhetoric. Simon, what I'm doing is if you can explain what rhetoric is.
Okay, so rhetoric is the way in which you construct your arguments, the way in which you present your arguments. So it's independent of the idea itself, right? So it's not that rhetorics are. You have your rhetorical debate on almost any question, like any topic, and you can look at in terms of the structure of the discussion, how people are framing what they're talking about, which channels of communication they're using, and how they're trying to persuade.
Now, going back to the thing that Simon and I work on, I mean, you might need the mic. Sorry if one there, but we might have to do something here. Hello.
Hello. Dun, dun,
dun. Now, I will show you some slides. Do you consider a game a media channel? A game. The other students here are gaming students. They're designing games.
Crazy game.
Okay.
Coming. some of your actions were calling the cell phone of other people playing the game.
Right? Ah, nice.
And so it was a, so they basically were modeling it on Utoya, and you were avoiding Brevik. And one of your game actions was to get other, like, bring other people's cell phones so he'll go and kill Brevik instead of you. Right? Now, that's a board game of a horrific part of the region. Right? Now, one was, that's far too soon. I mean, you can have board games, like, but even later, would you build a board game of Auschwitz? Mm-hmm. Where, like, you know, you've got a board game and you're moving the Jews around and you're going to, as efficiently as possible, do your little board game of moving Jews into...
I don't think you should do that.
No.
Okay, so argue for it, against it.
Well,
one step. What is a good argument not to do it? And then you would have to get an argument to do it. This is right now. That's so. Just one argument. I just give an argument. Now, there's a difference between an opinion and an argument. I didn't ask for an opinion. No, no, he's talking. He's.
Yeah, my argument would be, where would you draw the line on what to make a game about or what to not make a game about?
Now, my students, this is called the fallacy of the slippery slope. We let one Syrian in.
Yeah,
we let two Syrian. That's a counter argument.
Yeah.
That's a good argument. That's fine.
Who would kind of say this is too serious topic to make a game of? Even when someone just says this is not, you shouldn't joke about this. Who would be the deciding part of this is funny, this is allowed to be funny, this is not funny?
So we won't get into debate. We won't get it now, but what you would say then, of course, is that we had the slippery slope fallacy, and then do you believe in society that we have anything that people decide what is good and bad on?
Not when you have to face this, but I'm fond of everything can be funny, because there's no one...
No, it's fine. This is the situation. So what we try and train the students in the course is distinguish between arguments and opinions. You're allowed to have your own opinion, and the opinion, you should have your own opinion, but Simon and I have no intentions or whatever. You formulate your opinion. We're not here to teach you to have an opinion. This was a
master's course in information security, so you'd have to be qualified to be a master's. And you might be able to take the liquid once you're a master's. But I'm trying to change the rules, because that's what I'd like doing.
Now, what will happen, the reason that we're doing this together now is Simon and I are really into developing online courses. So the idea is we want to turn this into a MOOC, and it would be Information Technology Rhetoric for Computer Science Students. Or whatever.
Yeah.
Now, what happened about 40 years ago in Norway, you have to take something called field. Yes, thank you. No, we have. Well, there's only three students here. We say, has this course been valuable information to you?
Yeah.
Good. So yeah, I mean, it's not so much the subject matter; it's how it's delivered. And. So today's lecture, we're going to have administration issues to the forum, and then we're going to have this debate that Simon Alpha have. called The Force of Debate. And what this is the students, the three students here and whoever's online, they will have to take an exam on the first and the second, and they're going to have to debate each other. And they will be judged according to this form. And so this is an example of the debate now that you'll be going through, but the subject is different. The subject is, does God exist in cyberspace? All right? So you guys can just fill these things in. Now, the students were trained in different concepts of ethos, logos, and pathos. Don't breathe. This is administration issue, so don't worry. So far, only these individuals have signed up for the exam. I'm missing some. Remember, if you're sending something to me because of all the filters and because of all the attacks I get all the time, make sure you put EMT415132 in it, right? Okay? What will happen is they will have a 30-minute slot where this exam will go on. And I will jump a bit here. So the format of the exam is this. We flip a coin, and the coin decides who's going to be for and against. You have 3 minutes to present your arguments, max. If you present them in 1 minute, fine. The opposing team has 3 minutes to present their arguments. Then we have a certain time slot allocated to cross-examination, so it's called a cross-examination debate. And the gains case, then you get 1 minute summary, and then you get 1 minute and you get feedback from the judges. This is a format we've been running for about 15, 16 years. Now, the issue that they have to debate is a bit abstract, but that's the reason for that, is that we are security people. We are working with, and we want to cut down cost all the time. That's the main issue. I say it's all about the money. So the university has decided that they want to introduce an artificial access control system called CyberEye. So the next time you log on to a system here, this or the learning management system, you do not have password and user ID. You have a picture of me. So I didn't get your name. What was it?
Benjamin.
Hi, Benjamin. How are you doing? You still trying to figure out if we should figure out this? And you never know whether you're communicating with me, the security guard, or an artificial agent. So it's like an applied Turing test. Everybody familiar with the Turing test? Right? And the system will have different functionalities also in the future. It might be just help you. Like, we have a lot of these, the quantified self, and it could help you. Say, Benjamin, come on. It's time to take a break. You've been sitting there playing the stupid game for an hour. You're actually supposed to code the game, not play the game. So you will have sort of like your secret self monitoring you. And we believe this, because what we're measured on is, as you know, it's not as whether the students actually learn anything in FIL. It's whether they complete the course. So the powers that be in Kunskaps Department, I love it, Knowledge Department, it's amazing. They say that we have to produce 50% throughput, or they will cut our courses. And Simon, of course, always says, what do you always say? Pass everybody or fail everybody. I don't care.
I don't care about the rules. What I do until they're
done. So in the debate, the students come into the room. These are security experts. They're training to be security managers. And the student union is against this. And they're going against an arbitrator, in this case, a professional panel of professors at the Knowledge Department, deciding whether they should allow Jurvik to do this. And your job is, given this format here, to convince them. All right? To convince them that they should use CyberEye or they should not use CyberEye. Question? Well, there's different ways of using ethics. One is a teleological ethic and a deontological ethic. Do individuals have the right to know they're speaking to a machine? Is that a human right? No, no, you pick your angle. Your job is this, your job now as the union, regardless of what you believe in, right? You're the union representative. If the students want that, you're going to have to fight for that. You're the security manager. If you still think that everybody should do this, your job will be to defend the security policy of Trondheim, the rector. That's what you get paid for as a security manager. Well, we get into a bit. So we give what they have to do. So here now. So what we say now is IT rhetorics for security is to give him the skill to inform, persuade, negotiate, control, entertain, using different concrete and abstract information technologies. When I say that, channels, medium, tools, etc. What is an abstract medium? A game. You guys are doing an app, that's a game, right? But it's also a software program. We can design a game, be interesting. This is a game we can set up. Would you like to design a game to figure out if there is one called this, deciding whether the poetry was produced by a computer or by a human? Because what's going to happen in the future that with all this data intelligence, we're not going to be able to distinguish. And we saw this yesterday with the bot Twitters. Did you know about the election, the bot Twitters? So the bots set out for Trump to sort of spread certain types of rumors. And this is used all the time. People think they're actually human Twitters, but they're basically Twitters put out by machines to affect the population at a certain time in a certain place. So it was tweeted out that the Canadian immigration site has crashed because there's so many Americans trying to apply for Canadian citizenship. There's a good chance that that information was programmed by certain individuals that want the system to be that way, right? So what it also is, rhetorics gives you what we call a mental model for thinking about friends and foe. And Simon and I were talking about this, and basically when you do a computer game, you're working with data, information, knowledge, and wisdom, and experience. So why do people play games? And you had this discussion, I think, before, because they have a need for many things. They're bored, yeah. And then what we do is we say we have these three different paths. Pathos has to do with feelings. So when I'm selling something, I'm trying to appeal to your feelings. Logos has to do with logic, and ethos has to do with authority. Right? So in a sense, this is your game. It's trying to sell. It's having data connection. It's selling information. It's selling knowledge. And it's selling the experience. And it has to decide which of these paths this is going to do. You know yourself, if everything is chance, that's not a game. There has to be a moment of skill in it, right? Otherwise people, and there are people that will buy chance. There's people that sit there with the pinball machines and do that. And then we have different ways of classifying communication. When I communicate with something, do I motivate them? Do I command them? Those are two orthogonal concepts. It's not the same thing. You cannot command someone and motivate them. Those are two different words. As a security manager, I have to decide. If I'm giving you a message, a gamer, do I have to entertain you more, motivate you, inform you, or command you? I say, Simon, I won't even try to command him. I always have to sort of entertain him, right? I try to inform him because anything that I come up with, he comes up with two more. Right? So when you have your game, you can look at your game when you're doing things too. And so these are the things, is that you have the manager, you have the teacher, In this case, you have the employee, the student, and what you're targeting is to use a medium to influence, negotiate, control, etc., etc. And you have old mediums, you have these new IT mediums, and we have mediums that we don't have a clue about. For example, the Twitter bots. That's in a new type of medium that they used quite effectively. And what's important for you to realize that you're not going to be only influenced by people, you're going to be influenced by machines. So you should be able to detect when there's a machine coming.
Radio. No one had a radio for that. And then Ronald Reagan understood television better than anyone else. Right? And Obama understood the internet better than anyone else. And Trump understands Twitter and social media. And we know if you want the maximum number of followers on social media, you have to be a fence. Right? If you want to get social media following, you do stupid, you know, jackass kind of thing, right? You do stupid and say offensive things and you get lots of followers. And that's how you use that particular medium to communicate with your audience. Right?
So in this case here, if you have this model, and we have these three things, we have P, it's based on pathos, you might want to put a bit of logos in it, and you might have a bit of ethos in it if you go to sell this. And you have to your job as a game designer or a communication designer is to figure out this proportionality for the crowd. Right? So the thing is, none of these things are right or wrong, ethos, pathos, logos. It all depends on who the crowd is. And it's all the order. So for example, when Trump says something, he starts off with pathos, then ethos, and maybe he would put some logos. He might not. This Hillary starts with ethos. I've been 30 years. I have the authority to do this. I've been the Secretary of State. Then she sort of puts some sort of logic in it, and then she sort of puts pathos into it when she talks. So that channels the difference. And there's nothing wrong with that, but you're talking to different audiences. So in your case, for the exam here, you're talking to the audience of professors. So you understand. Now, when it comes to professors in the argument, of course, is we're supposed to start off with logos. Anything academic. In academic, we either use ethos, logos, and as little pathos as possible. You're not allowed to use pathos in academia. As I say, I don't want to know. Simon's opinion, I don't want to know. I can reference his research. So when we're communicating things, we have different tools. We use words, pictures, and mathematics. Or we can use pictures, words, and mathematics. So mathematics, words, and pictures. And if you want to get into the academic field, you see that, right? So if you look at the doctoral thesis and your thesis you're going to be writing, you're going to be doing that. So these are basic things that never change with any technology, in a sense. It's just this is something you don't have to worry about. But it says you have to take a course in social one student I hear took a course in social technical modeling. Right? You no, two or two, yeah. She's worried about tomorrow flying to Stockholm. No problem, we understand. We appreciate it. The reason this is called this way, to put the thing into perspective, this is used to be taught in another course. This is called Dex Ex Machina. Does everybody know about the concept? In a game or in a theater in the Greek, they would have a thing and everybody would die and you would have to have a happy ending. So God would come in and make sure that everything was good before they left. Because people don't go to theaters to become sad. Right? And then what they used to do is they would have this guy, he'd be hanging on this, and they would lower him as a god into this. So he's being lowered into the god. And we talked about this social technical model and get into this, so that's what's supposed to happen. We have a god coming in, right? And what this says here is that the unexamined life is not worth living. The unexamined a politician is not worth electing. What? Why? Because he knew about how to use ethos, pathos, and logos in the right order. And you see this all the time. They're talking about Trump's rhetoric. And they're confusing the term because they're actually choosing his style, his rhetoric style, rather than his rhetoric. Because Hillary has rhetoric. You can't be a politician without you. You can't do anything without one. So what you have here is a form. We're going to be baiting. And you can judge us. We don't care. And these are the things I use sometimes when I'm giving feedback to the students about the presentation of the exam. Now, they have seen, has everybody downloaded, succeeded to download the past exam? So I record the students. No, you don't have to worry if you want to. But everybody here has succeeded. If you haven't succeeded online, hello, please contact me. But I sent it to UUNET. It's huge files, and that's the huge problem here, right? Now, one of the things we have is the students can ask a question, so as we grade it. And we're going to try to do some experiments today. We haven't put enough effort into this. But there's things called fallacies. And now, Simon gave me a good link. There is a whole site that has fallacies, but I couldn't open it because it's restricted on my machine.
Oh, okay. I use the IRA put out a bunch of about six short videos of internet fallacies, right? So things that you see people doing on the internet. And so you get the standard one of ad hominem attack, right? So, you know, you can't...
She's weak.
She's weak, right? Yeah, you can't trust her message because she's weak. So that's ad hominem. You have straw man, where I construct your argument in a way that makes it easy for me to destroy it, even though you have really been arguing for that anyway. She wants to take away your guns. She wants to destroy the Second Amendment. Right? She never said that she wants to destroy the Second Amendment. But Trump makes the straw man. She wants to repeal the Second Amendment. And then said, isn't that terrible that you're going to be agreeing with him and so she can't compare it? Right? So that's classic straw man.
And we have a list here later on.
Yep.
I can get to them.
Believe that this trade deal is good, right? And the trade deal may be terrible, right? Just because he's used a fallacy to argue against it doesn't mean it's being made more correct because he used that argument. It still could be bad, independently of anyone using a fallacy to defend it. So, yeah, it's about that independence of the idea from things not related to that.
So there's a mathematics to rhetorics, there's a mathematics to argumentation, there's a logic to it. And you see here, this is an example for these students, and they had before. It said, if P, then Q, P, therefore Q. In this case, so don't going back to this thing about cyber eye, which you explained to you. If we are aware and accept our risk, we are secure. So if P, then Q. We have done a risk assessment of cyber eye, right? Therefore, we are secure. That's modus ponens. So we're saying that if P, and you accept if P then Q, but then is that true? What is the premise? And what is the argument? So every time in an argument, you have a premise and you have supporting statements on that premise. And there's a bunch of different ones we won't get in now, but I like this one the best because it's really, is this one? This one might be good. Either we accept cyber or we have an insecure system. Either we accept the fact that God exists, or we are doomed. If we accept cyber, we are secure. if we do not accept Sabrai, we are insecure. If you do not accept the existence of God tonight, you will go home and be sad. It's not true, but I just said P or Q. If P, then R, nothing to do with P and Q. If Q, then S, nothing to do with P or Q. Therefore, R or S. This is all mathematical, and these guys do this instinctively. Many of these people who do this do it instinctively. That's the problem. We learned this. And what we're trying to do is develop software that will do this type of logic checker, either using crowdsourcing or by whatever. You can do a game about this, right? So every time I make a dilemma fallacy, you can throw a D at me. All right? Now, the debate we have now. Okay, any other issues here now? Idea channel, I have to do him.
And in, if you did search for Idea channel and in fallacy, you'll find the link to a 13-minute version, but there's also links in that YouTube video to the individual ones that you could like post into a forum and say, oh, I think I just spotted that. And it will explain to the person what fallacy it is.
That's the post that we have, right?
Yeah.
There are also the posters, the fallacies in that posters are the same.
Most of them. Because he does use a lot. So going back to this, going back to what I said, an argument is a set of reasons or evidence in support of a conclusion. Right? So what you, when I say, you know, now this ethos, pathos, logos thing is not the same thing as an argument. That's what we have to figure out. But that's how you structure it. So for example, here now, this is in the book. You can get the book. It's online if anybody wants, and it's free. You can buy the book. Be an optimist. There's not much use being anything else. So that's Winston Churchill supposedly said this. In this case, for security, an argument you can count it. Be a pessimist. You're guaranteed to... Okay, if we take these two premises, do you agree that we learn from our mistakes, Simon? Do you agree that we are learning... And he believes that, in this case here, I know it's the way, we are learning and playing animals. That's the thing. I should always say that. All play is learning, yes. So these are synonymous, right? You can say that. So be a pessimist. You're guaranteed to learn from your mistakes. That's sort of a... Yes, go ahead. You're saying something? It's not streaming. Sorry. It's recording. Because what happens when you... And put it this way. The reason why, if you say anything you want me to remove and not put out during this, we will can remove it. And this is another one just for the other ones. We're just reviewing this, so I'm doing the reviewing now if you have time. But in this case, we're talking security. There's something called equivocation. If you're interested, sometimes you can look at the ice cream debate on YouTube. But here we have women and men are physically and emotionally different, right? So the students here have to participate. Defend and refute this statement. Women take less risk than men. Therefore, they are less of a security problem than men. So, what would you like to agree? Do you agree with that statement and support it? And what's the equivocation thing I'm doing, right? And the anybody raise your hand and just say I want to answer this or you don't. Can anybody want to say that women we should have more females in charge? We should have had a female in charge of the atomic button. Right? So, I mean, Wilt Hillary is taking less risk. Basically, what the whole world's saying is because Trump it is, we have a huge security problem. The trouble here is equivocation. So we have equivocated the term risk, taking less risks, with being more secure. Trump is saying the reason the United States is insecure is because when Obama goes and talks to Putin, he's not strong enough. He's not taking enough risk. And Putin is taking more risk. So he's actually less secure. I'm more secure because in the negotiations, Putin doesn't respect anything but power. Obama presents logic. Excuse me, in war, it's not much logic. Right? So who are you going to hire to defend you? Someone who goes out and starts reasoning with a Russian bear? Or someone that kicks him in the balls? And he did that, right? Okay, so we have this one, and we often say this, you see this all the time in our field. 30% of all businesses go bankrupt after computer virus attack. That argument, what's the problem with that argument is that 30% of all small businesses go bankrupt anyway within a year. Makes no difference if they have virus. There is no cause effect there. So correlation is not cause. But this is used constantly in everybody thinks that correlation and cause are there. It's a good argument because you usually get away with it.
My favorite use of that is as a widower, your average life expectancy as a widower is higher than as a single man. And therefore, if you want to live a long time, you should get married and murder your wife.
Question?
How would you disprove it or argument against it if you're not completely sure if it is?
Okay, so it's different when you say against is the wrong word. In terms of rhetorical we're teaching here, it depends who I'm arguing for. So if I want to convince them, I use a certain type of argument. If I want to convince you, I use a certain. So I have to understand the crowd. Do I need to have 80% pathos, 10% logos, etc.? Right? For example, you know, I said there's no correlation is causation, is not causation in a debate in the United States. That would not work. Right?
When you present the argument, 30% of small businesses goes bankrupt after small virus attacks, it would be really hard to actually see that this does not actually make sense because they would go bankrupt anyway. So it would be a hard thing to argue versus.
Right. So, and I give it by analogy. So I was in Tanzania, in Dar es Salaam, driving with my doctoral student on these high. They're very proud of the country and they have all these ones. But I was driving there from the airport. It took us an hour to get from the airport because it was congested. And he said to me, "It's really, you know, we're going to get money now, especially now that Statoil found gas, whatever, and we're going to build more roads." I said, "What is the correlation between the number of cars and the number of roads?" What we find is, in terms of causation, the more roads you have, the more cars you have. So I said to him, okay, an example. You know, they have found that there is a correlation between the temperature of the roads and the amount of children that die in childbirth in Tanzania. I can give you a study done on this. It's done by, you know, it's put it in the New England Journal. So I think what would happen then? So you're suggesting that what we have to do is water down the roads and we have less problem with childbirth. So what happens, the hyperbole such, because he understands that there's no correlation between roads and childbirth, there is, of course, because the temperature increases and that's why the bacteria count increases. And that's why. It's nothing to do with the road. So by cooling down the road, it would not affect the amount of children. It might, mindly, but not much, right? So that's an example of what I used, and that was a learning moment because he was trying to tell me that we're going to get more money and we're going to get rid of this traffic jam by making more roads. And I was trying to explain this correlation is not causation type of thing. So why we're here today, thank you, Simon, for taking this time to do this, is that we have this one. We've done it once before, twice before, once before. And it helps the students to see what it's like in real time, and then you get to be the judge. And we haven't prepared as well we should this time for different reasons, but we do things on the fly like this anytime we have coffee, so we could go get a coffee and start this. If you're interested, you have in the slide package, so this is St. August's argument for the existence of God. He was a famous one, and he had some statements, so this would be a good argument if I wanted to use for the existence of God. You don't have to read it now. There are a lot of errors in it, in a sense, because he has this. He then puts all existence in a hierarchy, and then what Simon would say, well, prove that there is a hierarchy.
Don't remember the hierarchy. Go on. Give me the triangulation for Gödel numbering.
So he says the lowest form of existence is illustrated by the rock. So that worked then, right? And you had all these other people doing this. But I can see if I went on the internet and tried to do this, I would be trolled to death, I think, whatever. And what I mean, the lowest form of existence is rock and roll. So these are the different things we can do. So right now we have the thing. Now what we're going to do, we're going to argue if God exists in cyberspace, and we have to flip a coin. Does someone want to monitor us? I think we just do 2 minutes. No. The point is, this is not an art. We don't. Now, he's an atheist, and I'm a practicing Catholic, so. But we're going to flip a coin. Does anybody have a coin?
Use
random dot. We're using random dot. Thank you. And I will give you the toss.
Oh, she can toss it. And shall I call?
Yes, you can give a call.
So let's say hints I argue for the existence of God. Hints I argue for the existence of God.
And then tails I argue for.
You argue for the existence
of God. Okay. And if it lands on the side. And if it lands on its edge.
Yeah.
It's proven. No. That's proven. That means I'm arguing for?
You are arguing for God, and I'm arguing against God.
I wish I was. All right, so the form again was what? It was the fours first, I think I put. No. We did flip the coin. We did that, right? For 2 minutes in this case, I get to argue for the existence of God. The way it's supposed to work in the exam is that the student asks the questions. I guess I had more sleep. Okay, thank you. Will you start the time for me? Thank you. This is a great honor to be presenting you today to discuss a very vital question in your life. As a generation, you will be living, playing, and also dying in cyberspace. I know that at your age and your situation, thinking about dying is sad, and you've had many people that maybe you know has died. And it'd be imperative, and you have to decide, do you want to believe that when you're in cyberspace that there is hope? Do you want to believe that when you're in cyberspace there is a future? Do you want to believe in cyberspace that everything you say that is good continues? If you want to believe these things, then I would suggest you vote in this and understand that the existence God is imperative for a happy life. You will be, as I said, living, dying, sitting in space. Do you want to have God there? Do you see God as a threat? Now, in terms of logic in terms of proving the existence of God. I'm saying to you, you don't have to. Now, I do not, anybody here, when they're younger, remember what it was like to believe in Santa Claus? Anybody raise their hand? Now, what's interesting I find is I do not believe in Santa Claus, but I keep getting Christmas presents. Do you want to be in cyberspace and get the 2 minutes? Thank you. So this, thank you. I can hand it over. It was only 2 minutes. You should get the...
And you can hear me there? Good. Okay. Cyberspace is a digital environment where we interact with all people, not just people of a particular faith, not people who believe in a particular God. We are wanting to communicate with everyone. Now, if you want to claim that there is a privileged section of society who have a special relationship with cyberspace because their God is the God of cyberspace, you are explicitly excluding a group of people who need to communicate with each other. They need to connect. Right? And cyberspace is the future of the way we connect. If God is in cyberspace, then what does he do? What does it do in cyberspace? Is it there to monitor you so that you are afraid? Do you want to be afraid? Should you be afraid? God do? If he's there and he's there to cause fear, do you want to be afraid? Is that why you want God in cyberspace? When you look at great minds, Einstein, right, proving relativity, he was concerned that he was wrong and that it was a God particle, and he wasted years of his life trying to find it. Should we waste years of our lives trying to find God in cyberspace? Or just live in the way we would want to live without fear, without this notion that there is something watching us, something always monitoring us, something always oppressing us, and embrace cyberspace as a free space that humanity has created to communicate with each other. 8 seconds. I can't believe he's Catholic.
So what will happen? And what will happen? What will happen in the exam? Now we will give you some time to think about the questions. We don't want to spend the time here. We will spend a bit, but I've been writing down. So I won't, and it depends, you know, I see you guys, you know, if I see someone writing down right away and they're nervous, etc., I won't ask the questions. We have 30 minutes. We're not there to prove the other one. We're just trying to get you to practice your skills in rhetorics, in security. So I'm not there to pressure you. And it's not a question, your grade is not dependent with you win or lose. Right? Your grade is dependent on how you use your skills. So going back to these questions, so now I have four, so I'm four God, so I have about 2 minutes of questions. Now there's different ways of asking questions. Now, what was interesting about Simon, he opened this up with, because he referred to Einstein, right? So what I can do is flip that, and that's another thing you can do, is flip the rhetoric. But it's hard to set it up. But I will ask him a few questions. Give me a, I would say, well, 3 or 4 questions. It's interesting. So, thank you very much, Simon. I mean, fear is an emotion that we do not like to see. Now, I could do this in a debate, and basically I'm framing a question, but I'm actually framing a statement. Right? So I did the thank you, et cetera, et cetera. And then I'm setting him up in terms of this now. And I think it's true that we need to hear this discussion. You said that people space to feel fulfill a need. If it's wrong to need to even a God? But if that space is a democratic environment and say there are 1 billion Muslims and another billion Catholics on it in cyberspace and they believe and they're there to fulfill that need, is that wrong?
I don't support cyberspace.
I see. So no, you don't believe in democracy. He says that this is right, that it's a good opinion. So truth is more important than happiness to you?
Truth is more tangible.
I didn't ask that. Is it important?
I'm not willing to weigh the two. They're orthogonal. My happiness is an orthogonal need.
Now we could go on. We can go on like this all night, so don't worry about it. So, but we just want to give an example of how we're doing this. And I think you've have seen some of the way we're debating here. You're understanding the tricks I'm playing here with him, right? Counter me. So he has his 2 minutes.
Right. So I have a couple of minutes. So, okay. So Stuart talked about wanting to have wanting to believe, worrying about what happens to you at your death. So should people be concerned about the future of cyberspace? Is that really the main concern here, is the future or the present?
The main concern, sorry, what
I now I'm going to flip his argument now, right? So the main concern is to deal with the fact that I believe that people should not fear. And if believing in God in cyberspace helps them deal with that fear, then it's good.
Okay. So you believe that God, so you're saying God decreases fear. You're implying that belief in God decreases fear.
Yes, I believe that there are people that believe that believing in God decreases fear.
That's a lot of belief you've got. I would say that given the history of most major religions, the fear of God, putting the fear of God into you, is a fairly common way that religions have controlled believers by having them afraid of a God. All the way from Norse mythology to Christianity, a vengeful and tyrannical God is the most common form of God. And therefore, the claim that God is there in cyberspace, I would say, is hard to defend. How would you defend that God is not about fear in most cases?
Now, the question, as we say, framing it, we said, does God exist in cyberspace? And one can say, you were saying that there's a fear for God, and I'm saying that the God is multifaceted, so there's both fear, love, and hate in it. So, yes, there is a capacity within the human spirit for love and hate, and that's what this represents. So the fact that there is some individuals that use this fear for God, is this a reflection of the society as itself? It's not God that's doing this. It's a society that's needing it.
Right. Okay.
All right. That's the 2 minute questions. Now
we're done.
We can have questions from the audience.
Do you guys want to harass us about our beliefs or non-beliefs in God? Right. This is specifically in cyberspace. I can repeat the question. Yep.
Mm-hmm. Spending time to understand the meaning and the pursuit of
wasting time because he, well, eventually he just, he found that there was no need to try and resolve his arguments and kind of find the God particles and the God numbers because they didn't exist. So he was able to prove that it was a waste of time. So I wasn't saying that he was searching for happiness and then found it, and then kind of, you know, that searching for happiness is a waste of time. I'm saying that he was searching for solutions and that found that he didn't need those because his solutions actually come out to being internally consistent. He hated the idea of black holes. You know, they're terrible, terrible things. But, you know, that's what the numbers say. And now we know that the numbers are actually correct. You can follow that question, yeah. Mm-hmm. Right, we could go back and forth. Yeah. Yeah.
Do you have any way you can argue against what you just said?
No, just if, so if there is a chance that you might be wrong, then you should not do
anything. Uh-huh. You have to take risks. No, you're correct. You should take risks. You, as a scientist, you don't know what everything is. But as a scientist, looking for something which seems to have no proof. And in fact, even the people who believe in it say that you shouldn't look for proof of it because then that destroys the belief of it. If they tell you don't look for proof, what are you doing? Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. What you're asking is why were truth and happiness put up as kind of one or the other, yeah. Right? So so that was actually Stuart trying to set me up, right? And my defense against that particular setup was to say, well, actually, no, those are two completely different things, right? I'm rather than saying, you know, do you like chocolate or women? I don't believe I have to make that choice. That doesn't make sense, you know? I might like chocolate women. They would be okay too, right? So I can have truth and happy, or, and lies and unhappy. So they're orthogonal. There's no relationships.
I set them up as a dilemma.
Yeah, and I tried to. That would be dodgy.
So that was a fallacy I was using.
Yeah. Yeah, so you picked the fallacy, typically.
So now I have to defend my fallacy, okay. At least part of it. As Simon pointed out in his discussion, control seems to be bad. The fact that this God was a controlling God. And the fact that we have this range of truth and happiness. God wants us to choose all. He doesn't want us to control us.
Yeah,
so what I'm doing, I'm just, you know, it's not true. But I'm just saying that's the point. He used the word control, right? Where he's trying to appeal to your sense of freedom as an individual, and everybody sees control as being bad. And I just turned it around and said, no, it's freedom. It's not control. So I'm doing that. So I'm using the word control and freedom as a discussion. And by definition, control means limiting freedom. So I would ask him, do you think freedom's an important issue? So, I mean, and would you allow me to freely believe in God? Do you think I should be controlled if I believe in God?
Am I controlling someone by limiting his ability to believe in God? I'm the one who believes in God.
Because he was using it as an argument to go against me, and I know that you guys all think that freedom is good as a whole.
Probably. So some of you might be secret or authoritarian.
And what you see in individuals, what we find, I guess I have to... what we find is that in terms of these needs, we talked about, Simon and I do a lot of these needs here.
Yeah, so following the model here, we should be going to summary shortly.
Yes. So any other questions with regard to summary? Now, in terms of your exam, as I say, you'll be, it's a total grade, so it's not as if I give you 3 points here, 2 points there, et cetera, right? And I want you to enjoy yourself in this discussion. I mean, it's not life and death, like whether God exists or not. And the real thing I want, it's very important that you can give the counter-arguments. So I actually would have enjoyed proving that God doesn't exist.
Yeah, and I'm fully capable of arguing the existence of God.
And the point is, for me, as I said before, I'm going to use Socrates, the unexamined life is not worth living, but, you know, I was trained by the Jesuits, so the unexamined God is not worth worshipping.
That's your 1 minute summary.
Do I want to give more summary? What I was thinking of doing in the summary, thank you, Simon. I really appreciate the discussion. I think this notion to have the freedom to discuss the issues is important. And I think having this freedom is important. I think having the freedom to believe in a God is important. So I appeal to you all, if you believe in freedom, you should vote for the existence of God. Thank you.
The question is on the existence of God in cyberspace. Belief does not equate to existence. I will allow you to believe in Santa, and I will allow you to have Santa in cyberspace. Does he exist in cyberspace? And the answer is, I would say no. You cannot claim that God exists merely because there are people who talk about a God, or talk about Santa, or talk about unicorns. The existence requires more than just people believing. You need to be able to show that he is there and is having some influence and actually exists. And without that proof, I think you have to claim God does not exist in cyberspace.
So that's, and you, you know, okay, we have it now. We last, you, no.
I brought a tricky one up for you last
year. Yeah. Anyway, so can we, do you guys vote? Those that believe, we don't say it. So in terms of the debate, which one won the debate in terms of your beliefs?
Okay, so there's a couple of ways we need to debate. Now, one way would be we'd ask you, how many of you now are for the affirmative?
Yes. Go ahead, vote. I won't make a difference to me.
Right, so the answer is here. How many, before the debate started, how many of you were for the affirmative? How many of you for the negative? Right, so what we could say is that our debate had zero value. and one of the things we do when you're measuring is the amount of change you made in the system, right? So when you look at the rhetorical debates that tell us that, so
when you look at the political arguments that Trump and Clinton were making, do you need to convince people who already believe you? The answer is, well, probably not, right? Unless you're trying to convince them to go out and vote. But what you actually are interested in how you change people. Okay? So when we're as teachers, one of our core things is the delta of deltas, right? Which sounds a bit odd, but how much I teach you relates to how much you didn't know before and how much you know now. And in fact, the quality of a teacher is even harder to measure because we know that you guys will learn regardless, right? Even if we're really bad, you'll learn stuff. So in fact, we know you're making changes, so all of you will go from knowing less to knowing more, and we're interested in how much more we can change you. So the change in the amount of change between courses, right? So a good course makes bigger changes than a bad course. Not Yeah. So in this debate, you now, we know that we none of us swapped one of your opinions, right? But we're now asking you, like, yep. Do you? Yeah, kids. Yeah.
For the exam.
For the exam, yeah. You're going to be assessed.
Did you learn anything in the...
Well, did you learn anything on the topic, / did you learn anything about our argument styles?
That's what we're asking. I don't... Right. So, did you learn anything about ethos, pathos, and logos? Did you know that before?
Yeah.
Okay. Everybody. And could you use the skills? Going back to the objectives of it, right? Going back to the purpose of the course. Has it, you know, improve your skills to inform, persuade, negotiate, control, entertain, whatever? We see, and that's the test. Because okay, my job, I mean. You know, I can inform you. Our job in this now can entertain and motivate you. How would you rate it here, right? We entertained you, I think. I think we motivated you a bit. We informed you, but we didn't command you to learn. No.
We sort of did it at the end, right? Where we both did in our summer.
Oh, we did, yeah. But I'm talking about the actual exercise. Like, what? Like, is this an exercise that we should always do before the exam? Yeah. And it's good that we put. And the reason is we put ourselves out there, right? And so trying to get to the empathy, whatever, and it has to do with motivation. All right. So I think this section of the class is over. I can get to the administrative issue. The next one, take a small little break, and then get to the administrative issue. I'd like to thank Simon for being here, and thank you all for being here and paying attention. And
rate us. I'm interested to see what you thought. Did you identify when we used things? Huh? Did you identify any fallacies?
Yeah, but I probably didn't.
Don't worry about it. It's not there. Equivocation, it's called, actually. It's called equivocation, but that's fine. It's not important. You this one's used a lot, right? And then, yeah. And would you be interested in going back to this? It'd be interesting to have a game. So you're gamers. So if you're interested in writing your bachelor thesis on how to do a game to, one, play with rhetorics and, two, learn rhetorics. Okay, we have hands up. Is you volunteering or?
No,
it's just okay, good. But one of the problems we have with this, and to understand this, and I know we want you to be innovative, but the fact that something does exist doesn't mean you can't study it and do something, right? And you can build on it.
Yeah.
So when you're writing your thesis, you write about all the different things that exist, and then you would try and show how, why it's successful, why it's not successful, because that's what you want to learn, right? You already know, but that's important. So that's another thing you can think about, study. Around now and so. And come back in 5 minutes. And we figure out what to do with this mic. Why is this mic so bad now?
I don't know why it's popular.
It never used to be that way.
You borrowed it from Trump, didn't you?
No, he got.
He always gets the head.
The big floppy thing.
Yeah, it's gone, that one.
But if you hold it here, you can generally do a reasonable job because you're speaking away and you're just trying to get the ear coming back. So, but yeah, yeah, about here, yeah.
Yeah.
So here it can actually do a reasonable job of picking up my voice.
Yeah, because then you also get the resonance within your mouth and so forth. But a game on the forehead, you could do it slightly based on the asynchronous areas where you have to present your case for something to someone. But what you could do is you could change the audience so that you have to apply different and these different amounts of ethos, pathos, and logos. For example, we are IT students, so it's logos is the way to go. And I know that this is because of different kind of people who do different things.
Filtering that occurred to get you to this point means that you are not a random sample of the population.
No. If you're looking into, say, what the general population is, usually purpose and feelings that work the most. Yeah. Think of the children. And
I want to talk to both you and you at the same time. So just finish.
And this you can see from Mr. Stoltenberg's speeches just after where he used pathos.
How would you even do that without just coming up as a slow-hearted robot?
Well, okay, so there you're talking about two different sides, right? So one is, am I here to link to you, right? Because for some people, I don't hear how I appear. I hear how you end up here, right? So, like, for example, my son doesn't want one of the kids at Barna Haga to come around and play, right? So, do I say to that kid, no, William doesn't want you to come and play? Or do I say, no, we're busy? Right? Or do I say, I'm sorry, we don't have time, I'm too busy, I can't, I'm here. So do I make myself the point of blame?
No.
Right? And so my son doesn't have to be the point of blame, right? So understanding relationships sometimes is not, I don't care if I come out stone cold as being a ridiculous person. If that makes you better, then I will go with logos to try and get you better because that works for you, right? And the problem for politicians now, it used to be that they'd go to different audiences and be able to have different messages tailored to their audience. Now, as Hillary did, now all of those get recorded, all of them get published to everyone.
Which means if she says something at one point and then says something a bit contradictory on another point, she will be attacked.
But as being a liar tailoring your message to one group, you give it to another group, and it sounds horrendous.
Yeah.
And Trump, like, grabbing pussy, it's kind of, well, it's locker room talk, right? And, even locker room people are like, no, we don't actually use women. But it's that different message to different people. But when you're appealing to a public, you have to go past it.
Do you believe? No, but I don't want to. Okay, so now we're coming back here. Sorry, I don't know if the. We're asking questions about the debate, what is right or wrong. But I'm not in to tell you what's right or wrong. I'm just trying to show you how the skills are used, and you can pick them up. And the only way you can see that in this area is by example and having it in context. So I'm trying to put this into a context. And we're playing a game. Now, it's an important issue, and I don't want to belittle the question about the existence of God, but I'm seeing this as a purposeful... Now, when you are selling security, that's one of the things that's different than other ones. Is the reason this is so important is security is different. Security is about trust and beliefs. And it's very hard for us to prove anything. Right? I mean, it's very... Logic will only give you the right to be insecure with authority. That's to say that you can only prove a system is insecure, but you can't prove that the system is secure. But you can prove that it's secure enough if you understand the risk, etc. So, I don't know how much time we have. We have a few minutes. I wanted to... So, a problem we have, as I say, not enough individuals have sent in their... I'm really concerned about this, in a sense. And a lot of people believe because it's, as you say, it's an interesting thing. This is a warning to all. I mean, the course is easy. You can read the book in 2 hours, but it's not a question of reading the book. The course is reflecting on it and put it into an information security context. So this is the icing on the cake for your master's program, in a sense. You should be using all your security ones. And with that in mind, I'd like to jump to the last page. So I'm jumping now. Shoot. But it's on. This is in. I bring it up again. Close and open. Now, what it is that in the resource section, I put an article. Welcome back. Why is this? Please work. Okay. And you should be doing it yourself. You should be independent in this now. So this is an article. Artificial intelligence as an aid in the management of security technology. Now, what does that mean in terms of debate? If you, and don't forget, who are you talking to? You're talking to, in this exercise, a bunch of professors. So the ethos argument in academia works. You get higher points for using the ethos argument. Now, people asking, I got a good question from one of the students asking me, okay, the example I sent out, Constantine, I can't really tell much, but it was the quality there is a BA work. Now, I can't really give the exact grade because that would be... But I'm giving a good example of the debate. So this debate was good enough to pass and to get above a C. Right? So you understand what the demarcation is. What I find is that... And if you start... And to get an A... I want to see some ethos in referring to something here, right? Because this is a master's. It's supposed to be research-based, right? You have all the time in the world to do some research on this. Correct? Yes. But what happens, in every argument, you have all three. So basically, a lot of people don't understand it. That was the idea I gave you, the terrorist. Logos is not the issue there in security. Remember I gave you that poem? You have to make the enemy feel. Okay, in reality... The idea is, do you want the enemy to feel that he doesn't have the resources to attack you? Do you want to make him think? Do you want to make him know? Now, of course, the answer is depending on the enemy. And that's the problem going on with asymmetrical warfare. They're wondering, well, okay, this guy's these people are prepared to die for what they're doing, right? So do you think that, you know, reasoning with them is a good idea? In some context, maybe, depending on the person. But I'm saying that's the thing to understand. When I say crowd here, I also mean the enemy and the friends. And you have to use all three of that, right? So your job is to use ethos, pathos, and logos to convince the enemy that it's not worth it to attack. But anyway, so that's the idea. You have the things here. You can read a bit more about so artificial intelligence, and then there's reference there. And to get an A, you should have... And what could help you in this? Yes? Yeah, so the crowd is the professors. Not the arbitrators, the other one. It's the professors. Yes? It is. The question was, is it still for the debate part, the oral debate? It's for both. So you should have, if in your written one, you should have the written one. You should have a reference like anything else, right? So in this case here, I don't even know it. You can refer to, that's the thing that's tough. You can, you know, if you want to save time, because then you can get off on this, but this is something you can use, yeah. Yes, go ahead. Another question? Did I answer your question? It's for both. But, as you know, quoting this in the oral thing is very difficult.
And also in the oral thing, you can, it doesn't necessarily have to be 100% true if it's a good argument for the situation. But when it's something written, then it's much easier for the person speaking it to check up their... It's two very different
mediums. And not only that, I talked about the visual one, right? So remember I had this business about cigarette packages being visual and being textual? Depends on what you want to sell. Go ahead. So the question was, do we suppose that there's any type of professors? And the answer is no, I wouldn't suppose that they have information security background. Yes, you can use pitches in prison. So in this case, you could have, if you want to refer to that article, you could have PowerPoint and say, this is this article, and it says this. Right? So you don't have to, because, you know, and that gives you pondus. This is IEEE saying this. Right? This is the reviewed, I'd like to present to you a reviewed article that made it into a level 2 publication. Indicates that by introducing these types of systems, you increase the disloyalty of the staff. And then you can have argument by analogy. When is automation used in other places? So, for example, now, to understand technology, that's one of the problems we haven't gone into, but those that talk social technic can have the same thing. Is not, what are speed cameras? Speed cameras. Right? That's a form of automation, when they, especially the ones that calculate your average speed. And what you could do if you want it now, you don't have the time to do this, and I'm saying this is A stuff now. If you went out and calculated how much speed cameras have saved lives. How much of this automation, okay, we're scared of automation, how much does this automation actually save lives? So benefits of automation type of general thing. So there's a zillion things you can do. You have the freedom. I'm not trying to control you as Simon. And the point is to be creative and academic. But you're being judged on your skills to do rhetorics, and you're judged on your academic skills. And how would you argue against that? Equivocation, right? So if your opponent uses that, you can make his logic. It's not really, yeah. And you have that chance in the questions. Right? Yeah, go ahead. And you have, yeah, and you only have 3 minutes. You have to decide in 3 minutes. How much pathos are you going to use? How much logos are you going to use? How much ethos are you going to use?
But if I don't figure out, I don't want to use logos that much. So I'm not going to
represent the statistics. No, ethos. That's ethos. Logos is from first principle. But I'm saying, in terms, but